A couple of years ago, I was considering actually retiring from the ministry of InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. If any of you have retired and navigated that, it's difficult to know when to retire, how to retire. I certainly didn't know how to make this decision. I started doing ministry with college students back in 1983, and I did it by faith. I just felt like God was calling me into it, and so I began by faith, and I've always wanted to end by faith, too. I wanted my faith to determine when I stop. Deciding when to retire, I think, is a huge decision that many of us will have to face if we haven't already. And it felt very weighty to me, so I knew that I needed to spend time praying about it, seeking the Lord, getting his wisdom, hearing from him, and listening to the guiding voice of the Holy Spirit. So I went on an extended spiritual retreat where it was just me and Jesus for several days, just so that I could be clear and just listen to what God had to say about this. And while I was on this extended spiritual retreat, I came across Colossians 4:17, and it caught my attention. Paul writes, "Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord." And I began wondering what Archippus's work was and how he was to know when it was complete. And this got me thinking about how will I know when the ministry that's been entrusted to me
by the Lord is finished.
And so this is how I captured my thoughts that morning in my prayer journal. How will I know when the work that God has given to me is complete? Of course, death has a way of making this very clear. Am I to keep working until I die? I understand that this may happen, but I don't have peace about declaring this as my intention. Having run many races, I know when it's time to stop running. It's not when the road stops, when you physically can't feel like you can't take another step, or even when you just want to stop. When racing, you're finished once you've crossed the finish line. Even if the road or the oval track continues, or you feel like you have more miles within you, once you cross the finish line, the race is over. And then I kept writing. So how do I know when I've crossed the finish line? So after discussing this question with the Lord in my prayer journal for another 2 pages, I sensed the Holy Spirit speaking to me. The answer that I heard that morning was, "You haven't crossed it yet. I'll let you know when you have.
In the meantime, keep running." There you go. So, how about you? How about you? Whether you're retired or not, whether you're young or old, a student, a single parent, a white, blue, or no college worker, or a collar worker, what does it mean for you to complete the work or the ministry that's been entrusted to you from the Lord? The word that Paul uses in the Greek translated here as complete or fulfill is the word plerao, which means to carry through to an end or to accomplish a task. In other words, Paul was encouraging Archippus to do actually what we are encouraging one another to do here as a part of our Finishing Well sermon series that we started back on Easter morning. When Jesus uttered the words, and this is what we began with, "It is finished," caught in John 19:30, Jesus was declaring the successful completion of his earthly ministry and the fulfillment of his Father's plan for human redemption. It is finished. These three words are to be heard as a shout of victory rather than a cry of defeat, for the work of salvation was fully accomplished for all humankind. Praise God, right? Amen. Praise God. However, like the races that Jackson referred to in his, I think, phenomenal message last week. Anybody agree? Phenomenal message. He talked about races that he's been involved with, and he admitted they're not all easy to run. They're certainly not easy to finish. And he brings up this point. It wasn't easy for Jesus and his disciples to finish well, and it won't be easy for us. Archippus needed Paul's encouragement, just as we all need to be encouraged to finish well. Because at times, we too can be tempted to quit or actually not even to finish at all. How are we doing? Let's pray. So God, we look to you. You are our ultimate helper. And you are the one with whom we have aligned our lives. We are saying we want to run hard after you. And you are saying to us, "I know, and I've got you." So God, we pray that you would encourage us with your word this morning, and that we also would have a sense of clarity about what it is that you are calling us to complete in this season of our life in ways that bring you honor and glory. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this time to learn together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe that we live in a culture that's obsessed with beginnings. We celebrate the launch of a business, we celebrate wedding days, and we celebrate the birth of a child, and rightly so. But in the kingdom of God, the emphasis is actually often placed on the ending, how well we finish. Now, the Apostle Paul, and this is going to get us to our main text today. The Apostle Paul found himself at a crossroads, if you will, in Acts chapter 20. So if you want to open up to Acts 20, this is where we're going to be. Apostle Paul, he's finding himself here. He knows where he's going, but it's a difficult decision for him. In Acts 20, he gathers the church leaders in Ephesus. He's gathering them to speak to them one last time. From his perspective, this is the last time that he'll ever see them again. And these are dear friends of his, these church leaders in Ephesus. He, Paul, was passing through the area en route to Jerusalem, where he says prison and hardships were awaiting him. Yet when you read what he says in this passage, especially in verses 17 to 24, and that's specifically where we're going to be, when you read this passage, he doesn't sound like a man who's afraid. He sounds like a man who was focused on finishing well. You tell me what you think. Acts 20, verses 17 to 24. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I've not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." To Paul, I believe that the value of his life, it wasn't measured by its length or by its comfort, but by how well he completed the task that God had entrusted to him. I think that that's what Paul valued more than anything. Yeah? A part of Paul's perspective is captured in his shocking statement, "I consider my life worth nothing to me." This isn't Paul's expressing low self-esteem. Rather, I think it's Paul declaring his very high Christ esteem. Finishing well begins with a shift in perspective. It's common for people to think of their lives as a collection of, you know, experiences or assets, how much money I have in the bank, or relationships, comforts, size of your home, whatever. And all of these things are to be protected. Paul, on the other hand, thought of himself as a steward of all that God had entrusted to him. And in this way, he poured out his life for the sake of others at any cost. Finishing well is impossible if you're holding on to your life too tightly. If your primary goal is safety or comfort, you're never going to finish the race that God has set before you, because apart from God, there is no safety. And God alone has all the comfort that we need. So are you holding on to something so tightly that it's keeping you from running freely the race that is set before you? To finish well, you have to decide that the purpose of your life is more important than the preservation of your life. In his seminal book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl argued that the primary drive for human survival, even in the midst of brutal conditions of Nazi concentration camps that he personally endured, was the ability to find a why to keep on living through one of three ways: the completion of tasks, caring for other people, or finding meaning by facing suffering with dignity. So what is your why? What is the purpose of your life? For Paul, he sums it up. It was to complete the task the Lord Jesus had given him. I wonder how many people at the end of their life realized that they never completed the task that they were meant to. And I certainly pray that this is not my experience or yours. Right? In Alpha Youth, we have been studying 1 Samuel since September. We got to chapter 19 today. We're well on our way. And we've been looking very carefully at how Saul began his kingship on such a promising note. And yet we're already seeing his kingship falling apart. And we know how it ends because we've read 1 Samuel before. David had a better start as Israel's king, but he had his own issues, his own problems that nearly got him disqualified. King Solomon had a brilliant start, actually, building the temple and gaining world-renowned wisdom, but he too finished poorly because he became distracted by things like riches and power and foreign gods, eventually leaving a fractured kingdom to his fractious children. In contrast to these Old Testament kings, the Apostle Paul started as a persecutor of the church. And I think it's fair to call that a bad start. Yet he finished as a living sacrifice, poured out like a drink offering, he describes in the book of Romans. Even in the shadow of a Roman executioner's sword, he was focused on his arrival in the Lord's presence rather than his departure from this world. The point is this: a great start doesn't guarantee a great finish, and a poor start doesn't preclude one. Amen? That's good news for some people. Finishing well is determined not by your past, but by your decisions today. There's a big difference between being busy for God and being fruitful for God. Being busy just means that you're doing a lot of things and maybe even a lot of religious things. Being fruitful, though, means that you are doing the right things. The right things. Similarly, running hard and long doesn't make you a winner if you're running in the wrong direction. This year on campus has been like, honestly, like no other that I can remember. And I'm going to be sharing some of what I've seen with these students and others tonight when we gather for our last regular meeting. We have seen this year, some of you have heard about this, we've seen explosive growth in the number of students that are involved with the college ministry called InterVarsity. We've seen tremendous growth in the number of students that are wanting to lead Bible studies for their non-Christian and believing friends. We launched 11 new Bible studies this year. It's never happened in 1 year. And we've seen huge growth in the number of students that are showing up to these weekly Bible studies. There's over 16 of them that are wanting to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. These are non-believers. There's 20 to 30 of them that are meeting every week to try to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. What does the Bible have to say? I've never seen anything like this before on these campuses. I think you got to go back to the 70s. Before you see something like this. Last year, at this time, there were, if you added up everybody that was kind of involved with InterVarsity, at least half the time, there were maybe 25 students. This year, there's close to 80 students. Yeah, well done. We've got some strong student leaders here that are helping to steward what God is doing on these campuses. It's very impressive. Last fall, as the pace of ministry on campus was picking up, and it felt like every week it was increasing exponentially, it felt more and more to me like I was on a treadmill. And somebody was like every week just kind of kept putting up the speed and it was like I had no way off. And it just felt that way. In fact, in my October 9th entry in my prayer journal, I referred to it actually as the treadmill of ministry. And this is what I wrote. The speed of the treadmill has been set, and now I just have to keep up with it. Like, oh, I don't know if I can anymore. It was moving pretty fast, and that's just the way, that was the image that I had. I'm on this treadmill of ministry. At least a few times during our weekly pastoral staff meetings, Beverly and Aaron, they remember, they would ask, oh, how are you doing? And I'd say, well, I'm on the treadmill of ministry. Remember, Aaron? Yeah. So if you've ever run on a treadmill before, you know it. You can get a good workout out of it, but it's not particularly fun. And so I was not particularly comfortable with that image in my head that I'm on the treadmill of ministry. I was working, but it didn't maybe suggest that I was enjoying it. So I processed this a little bit more with God, and actually God gave me a very different picture, which I hope is helpful to you. Gave me a different way of thinking about the fullness that this year has had. On October 3rd, I wrote, a better image I now have, rather than the treadmill of ministry, is of me hiking up a mountain with friends. I just like that immediately, much better. On almost every hike, there are early glimpses of the more magnificent view promised on the summit, but are themselves lovely to enjoy and oftentimes a welcome break from the tiring ascent. I'm not on a treadmill. I'm on a trail with friends that is leading me to a summit with a view beyond compare. There are places along the way for me to rest, to catch my breath, and to enjoy views that are only a spectacular foreshadowing of what's waiting for us at the top. Isn't that a much better image? Yeah. Maybe that will encourage some of you. Being busy leads to burnout. Being fruitful means being faithful to God while enjoying His presence and your fellow hiking companions as you encourage one another toward the summit. Paul knew what his task was. His task was to testify to the good news of God's grace.
Finishing well means staying in your lane, not getting distracted by trying to run someone else's race or seeking the world's participation trophies like wealth or status or popularity. Finishing well is about hearing, "Well done, good and faithful servant," regarding the work that's been entrusted to you. Your work might be raising children in this season. It might be serving your neighbor or being a person of integrity at work. Are you able to name what your task is for this season of your life? My task is clear, though not surprisingly, not as briefly worded as Paul's. I know that the Lord has gifted me with a calling to love Beverly as Christ loves the church. I know that as a father, I'm to do everything that I can to support our older children, and to help them to know and follow Jesus. I know that as a campus minister within a varsity, that I am to lead, and I am to love, and I am to serve in ways that encourage them and provide opportunities for as many as possible to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a pastor at New Hope, I know that I'm to support and encourage Aaron as the lead pastor, as together, along with Beverly, we provide the best pastoral care that we can to this body and beyond. That's how I summed it up. How would you summarize the task the Lord has entrusted to you in this season? Is it clear in your mind? When Paul preached the good news, he emphasized the grace of God. We saw it in the text. In fact, he referred to it as the good news of God's grace. You cannot finish the race on willpower alone. Anybody want to say amen to that? Yeah, it's tempting. It won't work. If you try to finish well by your own strength, you will burn out eventually and hit that proverbial wall. Paul was obsessed with grace because God's grace is both the message we carry and the fuel that carries us along as we proclaim it. Finishing well isn't about being perfect, but it is about being persistent. When we fall down, and we will, we let God pick us up again. It's about realizing that the one who called you to the race is the one who will help you finish it. The Holy Spirit will give you everything that you need today. We're going to forget about yesterday. He's going to give you everything that you need today, tomorrow, this week, and for the rest of your life. He's going to give you everything that you need and that I need to help us to finish the task that he has entrusted to us. Our job in all of this isn't to try harder. It's simply to trust him more. An illustration that I come back to time after time in thinking about this big idea. It helps me to make sense of this. Is that of musicians before rehearsals or concerts. Because if you've ever played in a band or something, you know that oftentimes we start with having to tune our instruments.
We have to tune our instruments. We've all heard what an out-of-tune singer sounds like, or an out-of-tune musician sounds like. It's not a very pleasant experience. So every Tuesday, it's quite ironic, every Tuesday evening, I'm up at this stage, sitting in a chair right here with my fellow trumpet players in the New Horizons Swing Ambassadors. And one of the first things that we do together is to tune our instruments. Usually we get our tuning pitch from this instrument right here, our little electric piano, which in my mind is like the Holy Spirit. It's an illustration. It's not really the Holy Spirit. And gives us a concert B-flat. So we hear this tune, and our responsibility is now to tune our instruments so that our tuning pitch matches that one. Yeah? As Christians, as followers of Jesus, as a part of his church, our responsibility is to adjust our lives so that they are in tune with the Holy Spirit. Can I get an amen? So the question is, does anyone other than me need a tune-up? We probably all do. When two tones perfectly match, the experience is not only more pleasant, but it's actually louder. I don't know if you've ever noticed this before. Now, I am not a sound engineer, so what I'm about to tell you is what I've researched. I understand a little bit of it. Some of you are going to get it, and some of you are going to correct me because it's not quite right, and others of you are going to be as lost as I am. But it's important for me to communicate this because I think there's some truth here. So this is what I understand from tones, that they get louder at their resonant frequency. And I've experienced this in the shower when you can find them. Is that too much sharing? This is not in my notes. So you get in the shower and you can find the resonant frequency, and suddenly that tone comes alive. It pops. Yeah? Anybody else want to admit to this? Strange behavior. Yeah, that's the resonant frequency. It's really awesome. I love going into rooms and trying to find the resonant frequency. This room has one. Not now. Okay, so I understand that tones get louder at their resonant frequency because the system absorbs and stores energy much more efficiently when the driving force matches its natural rhythm. This leads to a massive increase in amplitude, the height of the sound waves, which our ears perceive as increased volume. Now, fortunately, again, you don't have to understand this to appreciate it. To appreciate the beautiful sound and the more robust sound when instruments or voices even are properly tuned. Similarly, and this is the point, a life lived in tune with the Holy Spirit is far more satisfying. And it's a life that's filled with such power when in tune with the Holy Spirit. For it's the power of the Holy Spirit that will give us what we need to finish well. Remembering, finishing well doesn't happen at the end of your life. It happens in the decisions that you make today. A marathon is won in the miles where no one is around to cheer you on, not just at the end. Near the end of Paul's life, he wrote this: I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. And he could say that as he approached his finish line because he had considered his life worth nothing to him. His only aim was to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given him, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What if? What if every Christian that's attending a church today went home this afternoon more determined not just to barely make it through this coming week? Because you know it's facing you. But they enter into this week with greater clarity and greater focus on the task that the Lord Jesus has given them, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. In his letter to the church in Philippi, Paul wrote this: I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Again, what if followers of Jesus around the world, just like you and me, what if we lost interest in the destructive distractions of this world because we became more intent on pressing on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus had taken hold of us? Imagine all of us forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead as we press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. Because that is our finish line. And by the grace of God and the power of His Holy Spirit, we're going to get there. And as a result, if we all live this way, I don't think the world will be the same. What do you guys think? Is that true? God could use us to change this world for good. I want to invite up the musicians. And as they come up, I'm just going to give us some silence. Silence to consider how you're doing in this season. We're all sort of at different mile markers, if you will, in this marathon that we're running. We're all different mile markers. Some of us are just beginning. Some of us are, you know, a third of the way through, halfway through, maybe beginning to hit that wall. Some of us are almost there. Is there anything that you need from God in this stage of the race, in this season of your life, as you press on toward finishing the race and completing the task that the Lord Jesus has given you? I'll give you a moment to sit with that. Anything that you need from God in this moment of the race that's before you. Let's just listen to the Lord. Some of you maybe saw some of the highlights from the Boston Marathon, and you may have seen that man who almost made it to the end and collapsed and couldn't even get up. He was so tired. And yet two runners who forfeited their personal best stopped. And with some effort, hard effort, sacrificial effort, carried a stranger across the finish line. The question is, what help do you need? What help do you need from a sister or a brother? Somebody who can help carry you in this season of your life. What encouragement do you need? maybe even from this body. Father, I'm so thankful to be surrounded by friends, brothers and sisters, most of whom I know, some I don't know so well. And I know that there are many here that are set on running the race that you have set before them with everything within them by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would encourage my sisters and my brothers that are running really well, that have found their stride, that are running with a smile, that internally they feel that just the joy of running life at this stage in life. I pray that you would continue to encourage them. Continue, God, to give them joy, the joy of the Lord, their strength. God, thank you. No doubt, there are others that are feeling a bit winded, or maybe feeling like, are my legs going to hold up? Is my faith going to hold up? Feeling distracted by what's happening on the sidelines. And maybe I'd rather be on the sidelines rather than out here running. God, I pray for those that are feeling tired, for those who are feeling weary, feeling discouraged, for those who are toying with the idea of quitting. God, I pray that you would give them what they need in this leg of the race to, with you, to endure. God, to keep their eyes fixed on you, Jesus, to not become seduced by anything else. God, I pray you would bring encouragement to them. Maybe it's also bring somebody along who could pick them up and carry them on their shoulders. God, I pray that you would provide for our friends that are struggling in this season. Give them what they need. Thank you, God, that we are running this race together. And lastly, I want to pray for those who are running, but they're wondering if perhaps they're running in the wrong direction. They're not running toward you. They're running away from you. And they're realizing the mistake in that. God, we pray. We pray that you would give them the courage and the faith that they need to stop running in that direction. To stop and to literally do an about face. To do the 180. Using biblical language, to repent. And to turn in the direction, God, that you are calling them in your Son, Jesus Christ. Giving them the faith to say, I cannot run this race of life without the one who's given me this life. God, I pray that you would give them faith to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, to be the one who would pick them up, who will carry them across the finish line, who will forgive them of their sin, who will cleanse them of all unrighteousness, and who will give them life to the full and life everlasting. So God, thank you that we can come to you receiving all that we need as all of us are seeking to finish well. Mm-hmm. In your name and to your glory. Amen. Amen. There's a verse I'm going to end with, and then we're going to rise and just stand and worship because our God is so worth it. This is a verse meant to encourage all of us. It's right out of Isaiah 40. I've taken it from the Message just so that it lands kind of in a fresh way for many of us. God energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime, they stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run, they don't get tired, they walk, and they don't lag behind. Glory to God. Let's finish well, church, in the name of Jesus, and let's worship.